It's Thursday and time to read from your letters. First, a couple of comments about my colleague Robert Siegel's interview with Mark Roscoe, chairman of the Bush-Cheney campaign. Roscoe was asked about this exchange between President Bush and Matt Lauer on NBC's Today Show.
Do you really think we can win this war of terror, for example, in the next 4 years?
I have never said we can win it in 4 years.
No, I'm just saying, can we win it? Do you see that?
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that the those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world. Let's put it that way.
Now, here's what Mark Roscoe said about that and Mr. Bush's subsequent change in rhetoric.
I would think that you would be just... I am imperatively inclined to make certain that you check the context of what it was that he said. He was asked a question about whether or not this is a conventional process subject to definition and precision in terms of description that would match up with our traditional understandings of war. And what he said all along, and I think all of us understand, is that there won't be a defined moment of beginning or ending. It won't be a peace treaty that we can expect to ultimately be signed, that we have an enemy that is surreptitious and pervasive, and as a consequence of that, we are faced with a different struggle than what we may have traditionally had in our challenges in the past.
Well, the difference between the exchange aired on NBC and Roscoe's description caught the ear of Ken Dirksen of Oxford, Ohio. He writes, "Mark Roscoe's description bears no resemblance whatever to the words or the character of the question that had been posed to the president by Matt Lauer. Sadly, your host offered no correction to the guest's at best mistaken or more likely intentionally misleading statement, which reflected homogenized second-day spin." Andrew Roberts of New Orleans agrees. He writes, "Shame on NPR for broadcasting Mark Roscoe's statements. There is no way a rational person listening to that interview could interpret that as a statement that the war could be won, but not in the traditional way with peace treaties. Only when the administration realized what a terrible gaffe this was did the backpedaling begin." Our piece on the college campus tour, reported from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, brought this from sociology professor Harvest Moon at the University of Texas Arlington. The piece presents an idealized version of the pre-college experience as if it were the norm. Most of my students, indeed most students in the U.S., will not be accepted to multiple universities, will not have the funds to visit them, and do not have parents who can afford to take time off from work to traverse the U.S. in search of the most suitable learning environment. I suspect that hearing this piece would simply reinforce the idea that public radio is a space where elite concerns and experiences are presented for elite audiences. And finally, some comments on our attempt to set the record straight on the pronunciation of Abu Ghraib. And yes, that's it, Abu Ghraib. "Bravo," writes Andrew Wang of Prairie Village, Kansas. "Your piece represents a respect for other cultures and languages, as well as a commitment to accuracy." A far different reaction from Gene Hennessy of Geneseo, New York, who writes, "Trivializing a horror that shames America is appalling and reflects poorly on NPR. It is a gross example of NPR's attempt to appeal to a larger audience by being cute, catchy, and clever." Please send us your thoughts. Our email address is atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.